Hello, this is Karen Fresco with the News Gazette dated Wednesday, December 4, 2019. We begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Champaign Police Excessive Force Lawsuit, $87,000 Settlement Approved, by Ben Zichterman, Champaign. By a 7-1 vote, the Champaign City Council approved an $87,000 settlement with a Champaign man who filed an excessive force lawsuit against a police officer. The federal lawsuit filed in February alleged that Officer Tyler Darling forced his way into Davonte Wright's home in October 2018 and beat him unjustifiably. The lone no vote came from District 1 Representative Clarissa Nickerson Foreman, who declined to comment. And Mayor Deb Finan said District 4 Representative Greg Stock was unable to attend because it is new student night at Centennial High School, where he is a teacher. Wright's lawsuit was filed by Chicago attorney Schnurr Nathan, who will receive $50,000 of the $87,000 settlement with the city, which was also named in the suit. Nathan could not be reached for comment. Of the rest, $20,000 will go to Wright, $10,000 to his friends, and $7,000 to his friend's daughter, who witnessed the alleged beating, according to the suit. The payment will be made from the city's retained risk fund and from its insurer. The lawsuit alleged that Darling pulled up behind Wright after he arrived at his friend's house on October 7, 2018. Darling told Wright to get back in his vehicle, according to the lawsuit. Wright instead continued to the house and tried to close the door, according to the suit, but Darling then allegedly shoved the door open, rushed in, grabbed Mr. Wright, and struck him in the face. The lawsuit also alleges that the officer pushed Wright, that the two stumbled over furniture, and that Wright was eventually handcuffed. Darling's lawyers denied that their client struck Wright in the face. They also indicated that the officer approached Wright in the first place for driving without valid vehicle registration and said Wright was resisting arrest. There was actual and arguable probable cause to arrest plaintiff Wright, wrote Darling's attorney, Justin Brunner. Defendant's conduct was not motivated by evil motive or intent. Wright later pleaded guilty to driving with a suspended license. Darling is still an officer, according to Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb, who declined to comment further. Max Twin City Recycling. Battery suspected as cause of blaze. Video shows puff of smoke from their area. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. A Thanksgiving night fire at Max Twin City Recycling may have been sparked by a lithium-ion battery, according to Corey Mathis, co-operator of the Urbana business. There was a box of batteries on a storage shelf where the fire appeared to originate, and an investigator from the Illinois State Fire Marshal's office told him he was fairly sure a lithium-ion battery was the culprit by the way the fire appeared on video, Mathis said. There was a puff of smoke that shot out sideways, he said. Immediately after that, there were a lot of sparks and flames. J.C. Fultz, public information officer at the Illinois State Fire Marshal's office, said the damage was so severe the cause of the fire remains undetermined. Lithium-ion batteries, which are commonly used in mobile devices, can catch fire if they're damaged or if the battery terminals are short-circuited, according to a Federal Aviation Administration fact sheet, about including this type of battery in luggage. Mathis said Tuesday he didn't yet have an estimate for the damage caused by the fire because an investigator from the business insurer still needs to conduct an inspection. The fire was contained to one of three buildings at Max, 2802 North Lincoln Avenue, Urbana. The business was open the Friday after the fire and has largely continued as usual, Mathis said. Max can't currently accept cardboard from the public because both balers were in the building where the fire occurred and were destroyed, he said. The main building and another under construction were unaffected by the fire, he said. Cardboard will be accepted again at a later date and handled in the new building, Mathis said. He also said Max will no longer accept any type of batteries other than lead-acid batteries. The fire was discovered after a Champaign County Sheriff's deputy was dispatched at 6:18 p.m. on Thanksgiving to check out a motion alarm activation. This was the third fire for Max in 6 years, with previous ones happening in 2013 and 2016. Wind Symphony and Wind Orchestra Concert, In Mom's Memory. Acclaimed composer turns painful experience into a work of art. By Anthony Zillis. Several months had passed since acclaimed composer John McKay had seen his mother when he drove her home from dinner in April of 2016. Conversations were beginning to become difficult for her. She could hardly put together a sentence that anyone could understand, a consequence of the Alzheimer's that had steadily chipped away at her memory for years. So Mackie decided to play some symphony music in the car, an obsession of hers for her entire life. This particular song was one she had played as a flutist in her younger years. She lit up. "Oh, Scheherazade," she said, as Mackie would post on Facebook later that night. "I've played this piece." She hummed along, off-key and a little slow, but remembering the piece in a way she couldn't remember almost anything else. Even her son's name had washed away from her memory years earlier. Since retired Arizona State band director Gary Hill saw Mackie's Facebook post, and he reached out. Hill saw the post and thought, "There should be a piece about the experience of what it might be like to suffer from dementia and lose your ability to communicate," Mackie said. And he thought it would be a good experience because it touches so many people. Mackie resisted initially. The subject matter was simply too painful. Initially, he wrote recently, he didn't recognize the disease creeping. If he had known, he thinks now, he might not have rushed to end phone calls years earlier, thinking she wasn't listening when she asked questions multiple times within minutes. By the time she was diagnosed, it was quickly becoming too late to recall memories with her. But the music lingered in her brain longer than anything else, and she'd occasionally even played the flute. Smith persisted with his idea, and Mackie eventually realized that he was resisting for the wrong reasons. So he began writing. He started with memories he wished he could have discussed with her, and his wife put them into a poem that would eventually be sung in the piece. He wrote from her perspective with clear, beautiful music, portraying her as if she were lucid. As it went on, the music became more garbled and confused, and the soprano lyrics turned into simple tones. It included flute solos that his mother used to practice at home, which slowly became confused and off-key. After it was finished, Mackie reversed the piece. Instead of a mind deteriorating, the finished work portrays a person beset with dementia, slowly recovering her memories. The soprano singer begins in the hall or in the audience and slowly comes on stage with the band. The piece is tragic in its subject matter, so just knowing that is going to make it a sad, hard piece for the audience to experience, he said. I thought telling it forward in time was going to be even more tragic and also not very nice to listen to. Because the idea of the piece is that musically it starts very confused, and over the piece it comes into focus. And I feel like as a listener, you don't want to hear a piece that does it the way her mind actually would have done it. You don't want to hear a piece that starts crystal clear and over the course of 20 minutes just becomes more and more confused. Places We Can No Longer Go, as the work was named, premiered in February. Mackie's mother never heard it because by then she couldn't leave the facility in which she lived. University of Illinois director of band Steve Peterson and his Wind Symphony saw the piece at its premiere in February at Arizona State during a convention. Peterson had his own experience watching a loved one's memory fade with Alzheimer's. It goes from this incredible sense of frustration and anger to a certain sense of peace at the end, or at least resignation, he said. There's a sense of resignation, a sense of peace, a sense of having to turn the page and move on. But it's interesting the way he has elicited all of these emotions that fit the words incredibly well. It's stunning and incredibly powerful. I heard it and I said, we need to do this piece. So Peterson commissioned the work and set up three-day residencies for Mackie and soprano Lindsay Kesselman, who has performed the piece several times. The 24-minute composition will serve as the centerpiece for tonight's Wind Symphony and Wind Orchestra concert in Krannert Center's Folinger Great Hall. Tonight's concert will have a different kind of significance for Mackie. In November, his mother died. This will be the first time a band of this caliber has played the piece since her death. I know it will go well, Mackie said. That actually might make it harder, because the more real and emotional the rehearsal is, the harder it is to keep the distance that I need to keep. The biggest challenge with it is I have to sort of take myself out of it in a way. Because otherwise, if I'm just sobbing in the rehearsal, it's not very useful. I need to be able to kind of take myself a little bit out of it emotionally in the rehearsal process so that I can give constructive feedback to the players and the conductor and the soloist to best realize the intentions of the piece. Tonight, Mackie will be at Krannert Center to explain the piece beforehand. He knows that at the beginning it's not comfortable music to listen to, so attaching context is important. Because of its format, the piece has a cathartic tone, and Mackie wanted to make sure the experiences he included were universal for people in similar situations. Still, no matter how much he listens to accomplished musicians from across the country play the song, the pain still lingers. He's always left wishing he could have another conversation with his mother to talk about the memories that were lost. I'm glad the piece exists because I think it's an important subject matter for art to address, he said. I think in my own circumstances, because I was writing it after she was already unable to communicate, it brings up a lot of things that I wish we could have talked about, but it was too late to talk about them by the time I was writing the piece. There's no way I could have written the piece when it could have been helpful. My personal relationship with her, I wish I could hear her talk about the memories that are in the piece and hear more about the things that I remembered when she was around, just stories that are gone because she couldn't tell them anymore. Today at Krannert Center for the Performing Arts, Fullinger Great Hall, 7:30 p.m. start. Elizabeth Peterson directs the Illinois Wind Orchestra, which will play four songs, including two of John Mackey's pieces, Sheltering Sky and Kingfisher's Catch Fire. The Illinois Wind Symphony, directed by Stephen Peterson, which will finish the night with Mackey's work about his mother's fight with Alzheimer's, entitled Places We Can No Longer Go. From the local section, IHSA tournament bid, Urbana pledges $7,500. By Ben Zichterman, Urbana. Count another city in for Champaign County's bid to lure the IHSA State Boys Basketball Tournament back to the place it was held for 77 years. Urbana aldermen voted this week to pledge $7,500 annually to the cause, up from the $5,000 the city was ready to contribute when a proposal was prepared 5 years ago to move the event back to State Farm Center. Visit Champaign County is organizing the bid, which is due January 10. Peoria is also planning to bid for the event it's hosted since 1996. This time around, Champaign increased its pledge from $30,000 annually to $50,000, while Savoy doubled its annual contribution to $10,000. I think we're all on board that this is a community effort and it's going to take collaboration, Urbana Mayor Diane Marlin said. In addition, Rantoul is keeping its contribution even at $5,000 annually. Tuscola is staying at $2,000 a year, and St. Joseph is going from nothing to $500 annually. Mahomet, meanwhile, has dropped its $1,000 a year pledge. 5 years ago, Visit Champaign County spearheaded a $750,000 bid, which included $510,000 from donors and private entities and $240,000 from local communities. The IHSA is expected to announce in March which city will host the 2021-2023 tournaments. Medicare, Medicaid. OSF says Meridian owes it millions. By Deborah Pressey, Peoria. OSF Healthcare says it decided to stop accepting Meridian, Medicare, and Medicaid plans in less than 2 weeks because Meridian owes OSF millions of dollars for outstanding claims. The Peoria-based Catholic Health System announced last week that it had failed to come to terms with Meridian after months of negotiations and issued a notice of termination effective December 15. OSF didn't provide a reason for the notice until Tuesday. The money owed is for services OSF provided Meridian members over the past 5 years, according to OSF. Meridian's inability to pay claims per industry standards within the contractually required amount of time has created an unmanageable administrative burden for OSF in billing for services it provides, OSF Senior VP Randy Billings said. Meridian's demand that OSF resubmit claims that were properly submitted is completely unreasonable. OSF has contacted the Illinois Department of Health Care and Family Services and Meridian members to make them aware of the situation, Billings said. If the contract is terminated as of December 15, Meridian members who want to remain with OSF providers can choose a different Medicaid managed care plan, according to OSF. In response, Meridian issued a statement saying it's hopeful that an agreement will be reached. Our members' continuity of care remains our number one priority, spokeswoman Patty Flesher said. Crime Update by Mary Schenck. Urbana man arraigned in Christmas 2017 break-in, Urbana. An Urbana man who had been wanted for five months in a residential burglary that happened almost 2 years ago is due back in court in January. Michael Dearmond, 47, whose last known local address was on Oakland Avenue, was arraigned Monday on charges of residential burglary and theft over $500. Judge Adam Dill left his bond at $50,000 and told him to be back in court January 14 for the non-probationable felony offense, which could net him up to 15 years in prison if convicted. Assistant State's Attorney Lindsey Clark said Dearmond was identified through pawn shop records and a co-defendant as the person allegedly responsible for breaking into an apartment in the 800 block of Oakland Avenue on or about December 24, 2017. Clark said the victim was a student who returned home from holiday break around January 17, 2018, to find several items missing from his apartment, including a guitar, amplifier, keyboard, golf clubs, vacuum, and a printer. Urbana police began checking pawn shops and found the victim's vacuum pawned by Dearmond. Clark said an employee of the pawn shop remembered him coming in with a woman. Police identified that woman, and she admitted that she and Dearmond broke in the apartment and took the items. She pleaded guilty in April to possession of stolen items and was sentenced to conditional discharge. Police learned that Dearmond lived in the same complex at the time of the break-in and found another witness who told police that she was aware that Dearmond had committed a break-in. A warrant was issued for Dearmond's arrest in June. Clark said he was located in California in November and was recently returned to Champaign County. His criminal record dates to 1992 and includes convictions for drugs, theft, forgery, driving under the influence, driving under revocation, and violation of an order of protection. Unlawful possession of weapons. Felon gets 12 years for having gun. Urbana. An Urbana man with prior felony convictions has been sentenced to 12 years in prison for carrying a loaded weapon on two different occasions earlier this year. Terrence D. Mosley, 30, whose last known address was in the 1400 block of Silver Street, pleaded guilty before Judge Heidi Ladd last week in two separate cases to unlawful possession of weapons by a felon. Assistant State's Attorney Bridget Schott said on May 18, Urbana police were sent to the Circle K, 507 West University Avenue, to check on the welfare of two men who had been in a parked car there for about 5 hours. Police knocked on the window and got the attention of Mosley, who was the front seat passenger. He declined to speak with the officers, but handed them his identification. As they took the ID to go run a check, the officers noticed a black semi-automatic pistol in the passenger door compartment. The officers told him to get out, but he refused, got into a tussle with them, and tried to bite one of them. Schott said the gun was a .40 caliber handgun, with 10 rounds in the magazine and one in the chamber. In that case, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and a separate count of aggravated assault was dismissed. The second case, which happened while Mosley was out on bond for the previous alleged weapons possession, involved police responding to a domestic dispute July 7 on Mimosa Drive in Champaign. Schott said a woman that Mosley had argued with saw him pull a gun from his pocket and threaten her. He then left the home, and police found him in a vehicle not far away. In the vehicle, they found a loaded 9mm handgun, Schott said. Mosley resisted the efforts of police to arrest him, she said. He was sentenced to 2 years in prison for that offense, to be served after the sentence for the first weapons conviction. A third case in which he was charged with aggravated battery was dismissed in return for his guilty pleas. Mosley has prior convictions, Schott said, for criminal trespass, aggravated assault, resisting arrest, aggravated criminal sexual abuse, failure to report a change of address as a sex offender, violation of the sex offender registry, and battery. Aggravated assault of police officer. Man gets 3 years for chest bumping cop. Urbana. A Champaign man who admitted yelling at and chest bumping a police officer has been sentenced to 3 years in prison. Charles E. Nickerson, 38, who listed an address on Green Street in Champaign, pleaded guilty Monday to aggravated assault of a police officer in connection with a February 15 incident involving Urbana police. Assistant State's Attorney Victoria Dedman said two officers were sent to a home in the 900 block of Harvey Street for an unknown problem and arrived to find a man and a woman standing at the front door. They asked the man to come out of the house and tell them what happened. He identified himself as Nickerson, but yelled at them, declined to offer any explanation, and said he was leaving. When the officers told him he could not leave, his demeanor got angrier, Dedman said, and he tried to walk away as the officers continued to tell him to stop. As he walked off, he pushed past one of the officers and bumped chests with him, Dedman said. Nickerson was given credit on his sentence for 291 days already served. Other counts of aggravated battery to a peace officer and criminal damage to property were dismissed in return for his guilty plea. Nickerson had 5 prior misdemeanor convictions and 6 felony convictions for such crimes as possession with intent to deliver a controlled substance, attempted armed robbery, aggravated driving under the influence, possession of controlled substance, domestic battery, and resisting arrest. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette, dated Wednesday, December 4, 2019. Please stay tuned.